With Black Friday savings at the Home Depot, you can get top brand laundry sets with the latest tech to tackle any mess you might face this holiday, like automatic fabric and load size detection for spills of any size, from cookies and milk on your favorite holiday sweater to the toddler of the house discovering just how fun cranberry sauce can be. Make more magic this holiday season. Let your new appliances handle the mess. Shop Black Friday savings and get up to 30% off, plus instantly save up to $750 on select LG laundry sets at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Offer valid November 2nd through 30th. U.S. only. See store or online for details.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
We're back. Joe, there's this lady who's a real lady, and she's a feisty little gal. Her name is Lara Logan. And Lara has been doing what we've been talking about for a long time, telling people about the child trafficking, the using of child sacrifice for the blood supply for the elite, the rich elite, who really believe, you know, going all the way back to Semiramis, who really believe that the drinking of children's blood, adrenochrome, that it will not only give them a pleasurable feeling, but it will keep them young. It will extend their life. And this goes all the way back to the teaching of Semiramis in the Bible. And so, anyhow, we've got a clip, and we've been telling people now for years that we couldn't come out with a lot of this stuff because the people, they weren't ready to hear it. They would think we're crazy, but Now they're starting to realize that pedophilia, and this thing is absolutely rampant within the Democratic Communist Party. And so go ahead and play that clip with Laura. She's on Diamond and Silk. She's on their program. Go ahead.
What I want to tell you is that it's all about the children, right? And I said that because I am currently working on a four-part series. When I relaunch my show, I'm working on a four-part series on child trafficking. And when you start to go into this very dark world of trafficking, you learn about a lot of things that many people don't want to accept and many people don't want to face and many people don't want to believe is true. But my job as a journalist is to follow the facts regardless of where they take me. I couldn't care less about politics. I am not defined by Democrat or Republican or left or right. They try all the time to put me in a little box, and it never sticks because it's completely and utterly untrue. And what I care about is understanding, number one, what has happened to all of these missing children? How come hundreds of thousands of children go missing every year? How come they go missing in child protective services and in their custody? How come so many of the kids, 70, 80% of the kids that end up in sex trafficking have been through the foster care system? This is not okay. And when you start to go and investigate this and you learn the details of it, they say the devil is in the details. And that is true both literally and figuratively. I, for example, right now am working on investigating a case where a guy has a six-year-old child in a cage raping this child every day, a little boy. Okay, and these are people, some of them are in law enforcement. Some of them are working with people in child protective services. Some of them are protecting very elite people in our societies who are and have been involved in these things for a very long time. And this should not come as a surprise to anyone because Jeffrey Epstein is no secret, right? And people know that Jeffrey Epstein, take a look at the logs on his airplane, and you see all the elite people in our society who have gone to Epstein Island, and somehow we still don't know what any of them have done. We've had Ghislaine Maxwell on trial. She's been convicted, and it's extraordinary because it's a completely victimless crime. We don't know who the victims are, and we don't know who the perpetrators are, because Ghislaine Maxwell was a middleman, right? She was bringing other people to be raped and to be sexually exploited and abused. And yet we don't know. We don't know anything about it. How is that possible? And when it comes to what I was talking about has a number of different aspects, right? Number one, you can read across the media, everyone from NBC to Politico to USA Today to everyone you can think of in mainstream media, they're fine doing articles about how the blood of young people is the secret to anti-aging, right? And you know that old saying, you know, I think that you will appreciate this. My mother was a person who really handed down for me the wisdom of generations, right? And much of that comes in the kind of sayings and the cliches and the things that we learn. And why do they endure over time? Because they're true. And isn't there a saying that says only the good die young? Why is it that only the good die young? Is it because they're not interested in using the blood of young children? That if that's the cost of reversing the effects of aging, they're not prepared to pay it? But the evil people are. You know, and what we don't do as journalists is we allow people to make these kind of statements and to write these articles, and they put in all the science and the data, and they say, isn't this amazing, right? It's the blood of young people. But we don't ask, how do you get the blood of young people? And how much blood of young people do you actually need? How much does one person need in order to stay young? And as you get older, do you need more and more of young people's blood? And by the way, does it matter if the children are younger and younger and younger? And what has to be in their blood? And you know, you can talk to any doctor and they will tell you about the science of adrenaline, right? And how when adrenaline is released into the blood, it has effects. I know because when I was in Iraq as a war correspondent and our hotel was shelled, I watched the building fall down in pieces around me. And I knew that the office had been hit was the Reuters office. And I knew that I knew most of the people in there. And I literally felt, when I realized that my friends could be dead, I felt the adrenaline leave my body. And I have never felt anything like it. And when I was in Tahrir Square, being gang raped and sodomized and beaten almost to death in Egypt, and I lost control of my security guy, they ripped him off me. I will never forget the feeling of the adrenaline leaving my body. I will never forget it because it was the most defeating moment that I have ever experienced. And so we know, and doctors know, that adrenaline in the blood creates certain chemical releases that empower human beings. And when you look back in history and you go back in time, what do you find? In every society in the world, in the secret societies, in the noble societies, they talk about blood sacrifice and ritualized killings and so on and so on. But we don't want to talk about this today. We'll put it in our movies. We'll put it in TV shows. Netflix right now has a series called The Watcher. In The Watcher, the guy is talking about exactly this. His son witnessing a ritual sacrifice where children are being sacrificed. You know how crazy this is? 1,000 years ago, because I'm 51 now, when I was 17 years old, actually I was a little bit older because I'd been a journalist for a few years. I was probably about 20, 21 years old. I was working for Reuters, an international news agency, and I did a series on Satanism. And I can tell you, I looked at photographs of dead babies who had been skinned and used in ritual sacrifices in satanic cells in South Africa. I have listened to the interviews and the testimony of survivors of Satanism and to people who have received them. There's testimony from medical doctors. There's testimony from therapists who have tried to stitch these survivors back together. There's a 60 Minutes piece from years ago in Australia from decades ago, where a survivor actually describes witnessing people being killed in these blood sacrifices. You can go from Africa to Europe and beyond, and you will find a history and a culture of people drinking blood and of people making blood sacrifices. Look no further than pagan culture, when this wasn't even a secret. So why do we act today, if there's a long history of this, why do we act today like this is impossible for this to be true? And anyone who's talking about it must be nuts. But it's okay for Hunter S. Thompson to make a movie about it, to write a book about it, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and to talk about it in the film, and people say, oh, well, you know, that's just fiction. How do you know it's just fiction? Who proved that it's just fiction? How do we know? My job as a journalist is to ask the questions that people don't want to answer. My job as an investigative journalist is to make sure that I get the evidence to back it up, because I don't go out there with a preconceived idea. I follow the facts to where they take me. And when I speak to a guy who tells me when he was in the unit, which is Delta, that he was on underground operations and how they found children in cages, and I'm getting eyewitness testimony. He's not ready to talk about it publicly, but he's telling me in great detail what he found. And I'm working through the process with him, hoping that I can get more of these people to talk about it. We have a major problem here. We have hundreds of thousands of unaccompanied minors crossing the border into the United States, and they're not going to their parents. Where are they going? We have children missing foster care and CPS. Where are these children going? What is happening to them? And how can we not know? And why do we accept it? Why do we accept that children are raped for money and raped for porno films and snuff films, and that the internet has proliferated this across the world? I know I saw a case that I looked at, a guy who was convicted of buying 400 live child rapes to watch at the same time on the dark web. He was convicted. These are not stories that I'm making up. Do your homework. Make up your own mind. I don't care whether you believe me or not. My job is to figure out the truth and to present it to you. And what I said on television was that these people who want us to eat insects and cockroaches. As Angelina Jolie and all these celebrities are out there, there's just a plethora of websites and all these people suddenly telling us about the joys of eating insects. I don't know if you've checked, but we have canines for a reason, right? We've been meat eaters since we walked on the earth. Since we first walked the earth, we've been meat eaters. And suddenly we're supposed to believe that insects and some crappy protein they make in a factory and put a label on it, call it a protein bar, tell us it's good for us, that this is better than eating meat, than eating what God gave us. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And you know what? As I investigate it, I find over and over and over again that it's not true. They can try to cancel me all they like. They can say they severed ties with me. They don't have any ties to sever. I've been on Newsmax exactly three times. Three times. That's it. I don't have any ties to sever with you. And when you have to go to so much trouble to pretend that there's a relationship and pretend you're taking a stand, my question to you is, My priority is the children. What's your priority?
Laura, okay, let me ask you a question. And I'm asking questions. Do you have a list of these elites? I'm challenging what you're saying. I know you're an investigative journalist. Do you have a list of the elites? Not only that, these articles that you pull, do you have that in a safe place for evidence? Because I think that what I get tired of here in the left is always tying people to conspiracy theory, QAnon, and then it comes out that, this was true, that was true, this was true.
Right.
So do you have a wealth of evidence to back up everything that you're saying?
Yes. Yes, of course I do. Because as a journalist, it's my job to find and make sure. I don't expect people to take my word for it, right? I mean, that's not journalism. Just making statements and saying, take my word for it, that's not what I do. And, you know, the funny part about this is the people who are shouting the loudest right now, they know there's evidence because they're the ones who are guilty and they're afraid of what I have. They're afraid of the people who've had enough and who are talking about this. They're afraid of the survivors whose testimony until now has been dismissed. But they know that a journalist like me, because I was at 60 Minutes for 16 years, okay, and CBS, and I was the chief foreign correspondent, and I worked at ABC and NBC. I've written for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for years. I've been a print reporter and a radio reporter. I've been a journalist for more than 35 years. They want to erase my career and act like I suddenly went crazy, but I haven't gone crazy. I know what real journalism is, and the way that you show people the truth is you have eyewitness firsthand accounts, right? And you don't just let people come on and say whatever they like. You look for the evidence that supports what it is that they're telling you. You find the therapy and the doctors who've treated these children, who can't come out and give names of victims, but they can tell you what they've done to stitch these children back together. You find the people like the operators that I've spoken to who've been on operations and actually found these children in cages and can describe to you what it looked like and what it smelled like. Right. You find the people who've walked the down by the harbor in Bangladesh and seen rows and rows and rows of children being shipped. You find the documents from the company that creates a chemical that can detect. Right. If there's a certain there's something that people release when they're afraid and when they urinate, and they can use this to fly over the shipping containers and to see which shipping containers have children or human beings in them. Right. There are companies that are creating this technology and they're selling it to shipping companies. So when you read, say, for example, the trade publications in the shipping industry, you follow these leads and you find the evidence. You don't have a predetermined outcome that you are. I'm not a lawyer. I don't stand in court cherry picking pieces of information to try to make my case. This isn't about me. I really don't care what happens to me. I'm not suicidal. I never will be. And I have the armor of God on my side. And that's what I'm counting on to protect me. Because if they want to come for me, they're powerful enough. They can just dispense with me like a piece of trash. I'm under no illusions, but I'm still here, right? I've been doing this for more than 35 years. I've survived things that most people can't even imagine. And I didn't survive it on my own. I did my best to be smart, but at the end of the day, I had an angel sitting on my shoulder. And I still have an angel on my shoulder. And every person across America, every prayer warrior, every survivor, everyone involved in these operations, everyone who's witnessed this, I have people that have been in counter trafficking since the 90s, who've been in there for decades, who have witnessed and who have photographs, and who have video, and who have video evidence. You know the great thing about Satanists and secret societies? We may have trouble getting our hands on this evidence, but they love to film themselves, and they love to take photographs, and they need that. You know why? Because once you get drawn into these secret societies and these satanic cults, they need that evidence so they've got it to hold over you, because they don't want you out. Because the only way that we get to the truth is from the survivors and the people who make it out, and there are not a lot of them. But there's enough. There's enough for us to get to the truth. And I want to tell you, I'm in the early stages of my investigations, right? I mean, I'm still setting up this show and doing everything. Because the media has failed us, we have to do stuff today that is not my lane. I have to be a business manager. I have to set up a company. I have to, you know, do all kinds of things that I used to be able to just concentrate on being a journalist. And so I'm dealing with a lot of things. Remember, I've been fired about, I don't know, I've lost count how many times people have tossed me off their air. I don't care one bit. In fact, it's fun at this point. I just find it amusing. And also, it's a roadmap. It's a roadmap because they reveal so much about themselves in those moments. You know, they reveal what their priorities are, and they reveal what they might potentially be involved in. You know, does this have anything to do with the fact that the head of Newsmax is an old Clinton donor? I don't know. I'm not saying it does, because I've got a big enough job on my hands just doing a real investigation into child trafficking. Never mind all the COVID stuff and the vaccine stuff and the border and, you know, all the other things that people come to me about. And on top of that, our allies still being, you know, raped, tortured, and murdered in Afghanistan and trying to help clean up that mess there and stand by the people that we betrayed. I mean, yesterday, I got more pictures of bodies, another man tortured to death. So while America moves on from these things, you know, those of us who are in the thick of it, we just live them night and day, night and day. We work 7 days a week. We don't get a lot of vacations. I don't have a cushy job. I don't get paid a fraction of what they get paid to lie to you every night at MSNBC. You know, I don't get any of that. And I'm fine with it. God has stripped me of all these things that I don't really need so that I can focus on what really matters. And what really matters is that we no longer are a society that accepts the fact that children are used in ritual sacrifice and in trafficking and to reverse the aging effects to keep people looking good and feeling good. No, that's not okay. It is not okay. And I'm going to get to the bottom of it as much as humanly possible. And I am not going to hold back. The reality of what we have been doing to children will be laid bare for all the world to see, and it'll be in a credible format with real investigative journalism behind it so that it can't be pushed to the fringes of lunacy and the alt-right and, you know, and all the other nonsense that they throw at us to bury and silence and intimidate. They cannot intimidate me. I don't fear them.
Oh, let me ask you this here. Does any of this tie in to the New World Order agenda?
I believe that it does. It ties in a very simple way. I mean, you just have to look, first of all, at the United States today. If you speak to anyone in the trafficking world, will tell you is the number one destination worldwide for sex trafficking, right? There isn't a sex trafficker on the planet that doesn't know that if they can get their people to the southern border, they've got the best chance they've ever had of making it into the United States and walking away scot-free, right? And they can do what they want. In fact, not only can they do that, and not only is the United States government today facilitating those people who cross the border illegally, but once they cross, they're getting all kinds of resources and assistance, right? So they're sending unaccompanied minors, for example, to companies and to Catholic charities and other NGOs and also to foundations. And they're paying these organizations millions and millions of dollars to basically get rid of these children. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of children, right? Since this administration came into office. And these, you'll find an NGO when you start investigating that never had a budget of more than 1 to 2 million. And they're getting budgets of $20-30 million from the Biden administration. And when I speak to people who work there, some of whom I know very well, some of them have occupied very senior positions in government to have retired from them, they tell me that they know they are currently trafficking children. Ask the Border Patrol why, when this administration came into office, they eliminated the job of investigating whether the people claiming to be relatives and claiming to be families were actually real families. So think about this. Think about a Border Patrol agent. And instead of, you know, bringing to it all this propaganda that, okay, here I've got a guy who he just hates people and he's racist and he's a white supremacist, so he doesn't want anyone to cross the border. Most of the Border Patrol agents in the Rio Grande Valley and South Texas and all across the Texas border are Hispanic, right? I mean, we're not talking about 50%, 51%. We're talking about 80, 90%, right? The vast majority are Hispanic. And what they will tell me is that they know, they used to know when they had to, you know, try to find out if families were real, if people were lying, not lying, if they were trafficking these kids. They knew that they were the last hope for that child, that if they didn't figure it out right there at the border, that after that, the chances that this child would survive if they were being trafficked were very, very, well, they don't survive, right? The vast majority of them don't survive. And I want to tell you something. I went to a town in Mexico. It's called Tenancingo. If you've never heard of it, you go north from Mexico City. This is a town that has, for many, many, many years, it has been built on sex trafficking. That's, in fact, there was a university that did a study that found that most of the kids in Tenancingo grow up dreaming of and aspiring to be sex traffickers, right? I actually was able, through a very amazing Mexican contact, I was able to interview one of these traffickers, one of these pimps. And not only that, but I was able to interview two of the girls that were being prostituted under his control. And I interviewed them separately in a hotel. We couldn't do it in the town because it's very dangerous there. There were people forming the police force that's out of the town. You know, I mean, they don't welcome outsiders for obvious reasons. This is a town where once a year they hold a ceremony, and it's a tradition in the town. And they parade all the new young girls, the younger the better. And the men of the town choose which young virgin they're going to rape that night. Okay. Oh, and this is not done in secret. This is out in the public. Anyone can look up Tenancingo and they can see all the reporting and all the reporters that have been forced out of that town. And that, I want you to know that that was one of the worst things I've ever done in my entire life. One of the hardest things I've ever done, because I have interviewed women who have been freed from ISIS, whose stories of rape are just unbearable, but they were free. In that moment, when I got to speak to them, they may have been traumatized, they may have been damaged, but they were free. They had a chance to live. I had to sit in front of these two young girls. One had been sold when she was 12. and the other had been sold when she was 13. The 12-year-old was now 22, and the 13-year-old, I think, was 17. And these young girls told me in great detail, I mean, how they were raped every single day. They told me about being sick. They told me about the violence. They told me about being taken from their families. They told me the most heartbreaking stories you could ever imagine. I mean, they looked at me with desperation in their eyes. And I had to know, I had to live with myself and know that they were going to get up out of those chairs and they were going to walk out of that door and they were going to go straight back into that hell. And I could do nothing. I could do nothing to help them. And I can tell you that, I mean, it was patently obvious to me that they were begging for help. Absolutely begging for help. They lose their freedom. They lose their future. They lose their families. They lose absolutely.
Stop it. All right, we're back. Joe, you have this is why they're doing it again. 10 minutes ago, it started, and we started going down off the different stations again. 10 minutes ago.
Well, you're not supposed to tell people about that we did, right?
Yeah. Well, we got news for them. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep bringing. We're going to, you know, charge on again, people out there, folks out there. If they could just hold us up in prayer, we'd appreciate it. We have a lot that we want to bring you. Unfortunately, a lot of people right now, they're calling. They're upset. They're mad because we're not there, and tomorrow when I get in my office, the lines will be all lit up with people calling, complaining. You know,
people but have to understand. Let me make this loud and clear: the enemy is attacking us. We've been told we're about the only program that this happens to, and
we are.
We're one of the only programs that tell you things that are not allowed to be told. You're not supposed to know how cruel and evil and wicked a lot of the wealthy elites in America, the people in power, are. And they go to great lengths to protect their dirty little secrets. And this has been one we've talked about for years. We've known it. We've tried to bring it to the attention. But unfortunately, people want to hide from the truth. I just don't want to go there. It's too ugly. I can't do anything about it. Well, sunlight is the best disinfectant for anything that we know, and that term of bringing it out into the public is how you get change or how you get the truth out, and that's what God called us to do, to be the watchman on the wall.
Well, we're still up, as far as I know, and tell me, Craig, if I'm right, we're still up in Cleveland. We're up. Warren, San Diego, Philly. What about Toledo? Okay, Toledo, Dayton, Warren, Philadelphia, San Diego. What about New York? Did they take us down there? Okay, New York, they've got jitters. I don't know how bad it is, but in New York, but is it real bad, or do you know? In New York, is it just jitters, or okay, yeah, we're down. We're down in New York. Joe, you wanted to talk about some hogs. Tell us about it.
Well, I want to tell folks a story. And that story is it's an allegory. It's a storytelling based by a man named George Gordon. It's called The Wild and Free Pigs of the Okefenokee Swamp. Many years ago, in about around 1900, an old trapper from North Dakota put all his belongings on a trailer, hooked to his Studebaker wagon, packed his possessions, especially traps, and headed south. And he rolled into a small town just north of the Okefenokee Swamp in Georgia. He walked into the general store, and sitting around the store were all the locals around the stove, where they traveled, and he said, "Gentlemen, can you direct me to the Okefenokee Swamp?" Well, the old-timers looked at him like he was crazy and told him he must be a stranger. I'm from North Dakota," he said. "Well, in the swamp are thousands of wild hogs," said one old man. "If you go into that swamp by yourself, he's just asking to die." He lifted up his leg and said, "Well, I lost half my leg here to the pigs in the swamp when we were on a hunt. Another fellow, look at the cuts on me. Look at the part of my arm that's missing. Those pigs have been free since the Revolution, eating snakes and rooting out roots and fending for themselves for 100 years. They're wild. They're dangerous. No man dares go into the swamp by himself. The trapper said, thank you for the warning. Now, can you direct me to the swamp? Well, yeah, due south, straight down that road. They told him don't go, but he went. He said, sell me 10 sacks of corn and help me load it in a wagon. They did. Then the old trapper said, bid them farewell, drove down the road. Well, that was the last they were going to see of him, but a couple of weeks later, the man came back. Same general store, got down, said he wanted 10 more sacks of corn, loaded it up, went back into the swamp. Went on 2 weeks later, same thing. This went on for a month, then two, and three. Pretty soon, he became the talk of the whole area. He became a legend and a subject to speculation. One morning, the man came to town, and everybody
thought we're going back up. Okay.
Corn. What?
All right, we're getting calls right now that they're going back up. We're getting back up on them now. Hold it a minute. For you folks that are coming back up, and I'll say it again, when this happens again, for those of you that have access to the Internet, if you go up on the Internet to wrwl.org, wrwl.org, and that's our website, and if you get sweat, and it'll show you how, if you get knocked off your AM or FM station and you have access to the Internet, you could go to our website, wrwl.org, and you can pick us up live streaming on the Internet. So try to remember that, wrwl.org. The next time, it looks like we're coming back up on the different stations, and I'm praise the good Lord for that. And hopefully we can stay up the rest of the night, but... I think what we're going to do, Joe, go ahead. We're just going to finish your story. We're going to bypass the break.
All right. I'll try and quicken it a little. He said, gentlemen, I need to hire 10, 15 wagons. I need to hire 20 or 30 men. I've got several thousand hogs out in the swamp penned up. They're hungry. I need to get them to market right away. Oh, what? In the swamp? I've got thousands of hogs penned up. The old timers, you mean you've captured some of the wild hogs of the Okefenokee? How'd you do it? Well, he said, the first week I went in there, and you were right, they were wild. They hid, they wouldn't come out, and I dared not get off the wagon. So I spread corn along behind the wagon. Every day I'd spread a sack of corn. The old pigs wouldn't have anything to do with it, but the younger pigs came out. It was easier to eat the corn than to root out roots and catch snakes. Every day I did this, and pretty soon even the old pigs thought it was easier to get the free corn. They were free, not penned up. They could run off. Next thing was to get them eating in the same place. So I selected a clearing and started putting the corn in a clearing. First, they wouldn't come. It was too far, too open. But the very young decided they wanted that corn in the clearing, and it was easier to do that than to root out roots and catch snakes and all that. So pretty soon, even the older pigs decided it was okay to come out every day. So they learned to come to the clearing to get their free corn. The next step was to get them used to fence posts. So I put posts all the way around the clearing. I put underbrush so that they wouldn't get too suspicious. They were just sticks sticking out of the ground. You know, corn was there. It was easy to walk in, get the corn. This went on for a week or so. When they became used to getting it, the next step was to put one rail at the bottom. I left a few openings so that the older, bigger pigs could walk through. The younger pigs just jumped over the rail. After all, it was no threat to their freedom, their independence. They could jump over the rail. They could flee. Now I decided I wouldn't feed them every day. I began to feed them every other day. On the days I didn't feed the pigs, they gathered in the clearing, and they squealed, and they grunted, and they begged, and they pleaded. But I only fed them every other day, and I put a second rail around the posts. Now the pigs had become more and more desperate for the food because they were now no longer used to fending for themselves, finding their own. They needed me. They needed my corn. So I trained them that I would feed them every day if they came in through a gate. And I put up a third rail around the fence. But there was still no threat because there were a couple of gates and they could go in and out as will. Finally, I built the fourth rail. Then I closed all the gates but one, and I fed the pigs very, very well. Well, yesterday evening I closed the last gate, and today I need your help to get these pigs to market. Well, this isn't a real story. It's a story of free corn, government money, free benefits. The welfare system has reduced people like those pigs to a state of dependency. The government is on a track to buy your votes, to make you subservient, to make you begging and pleading for more free stuff. Yeah. The American people, we have the rails built. We have to say no to the federal corn. The bacon you save may be your own, folks.
And all right, Joe.
People, votes are bought by free government handouts.
Right. I'm going to open the phone lines now, and I'd like to hear from people from around the country. I'd like to hear from you and let us know that we're back up everywhere. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Tell us what's happening in your state. All around the country, give us a call. 888-677-9673. Tell us how we're coming through there, whatever state you're in. Let's go with Coach. Coach, you're in the air.
God bless you, Pastor Sanders. God bless you, Pastor Joe.
Hello, Coach. Good
Thank
to hear
you.
From you.
Hey, we're coming in loud and clear here in Cleveland area. Coming in loud and clear.
Praise the good Lord.
What I wanted to say was to all you American people out there, tomorrow's the big day if you haven't voted. Some of you may be thinking, well, why should I? We're going to win. And some of you probably think, well, why should I vote? My vote don't count. Listen. Listen carefully. This is our last shot at freedom. If we do not take back the House and the Senate and the Republican Party, our America as we know it or that we hope to get back is gone forever. We need you, first and foremost, tonight to pray and ask God for his hand and his help. Tomorrow morning when you get up, as you say your prayers or you're eating, ask God for all his blessings to have the people to go out and vote and let God take this nation back for us. It's very, very vital and important. You vote tomorrow, Republican. Pastor Sanders, I want to thank you for your strong support, for being a light and a beacon for not only but Jesus Christ, but for exposing evil and corruption in government. Pastor Larson, I want to thank you for the years of your service of being out here, beating the drum, sounding the alarm, letting the American people know that our freedom is at stake as long as salvation in hell. And I want to commend you. I did my best. I did an election special here to let everybody know how corrupt and evil that these Democrats are. We've got to vote them out of office, gentlemen.
Right. We thank you for those encouraging words, Coach. Hey, listen. There ain't no quit here. There's no quit in us. I mean, as long as I got 1 minute left on the program, I'll still do it. We're gonna fight, and it ain't over until we win.
And if so, I would, before I get off, there's other people calling. I want to say a prayer for America tonight, if I could.
Sure, go ahead. We need all the prayer we can get.
Dear Heavenly Father, I've been praying for years. My friends have always asked me to pray for President Trump and his protection, and to pray for Vance and Yost and DeWine and for Max Miller and Mulane and them. People have asked me to pray. Well, Father, I do all the time. Lord, you've heard Pastor Sander and Pastor Joe to remove these people. If they're not going to repent and accept you, Jesus, and to repent of their sins, to take them out of office, remove them. We read through the Bible that it's you who put kings and princesses and whatnot in position. Father, we've seen the sex perverts, the sex trafficking. We see the fentanyl, the drugs, the wide open borders of illegal aliens. We see the homosexuals, the pedophilias, the transgenders, the Dr. Frankenstein through this Biden administration of cutting off genitals of little boys and girls. We see the rape and the incest. We see the corruption, the violence from all these Democratic mayors and governors and police chiefs and attorney generals. Father, as you did for Moses and the children of Egypt, or from Israel, how they cried under Pharaoh's dictatorship. Lord, please help us remove this dictatorship. Give us back our country where we could be free from you, for you, Lord, and lift up your name and to go back in our schools and teach that Jesus is God, that God is the creator, not evolution. God made male and female, not little robots. Father, please, tomorrow, let there be a red wave across America. And bless Pastor Sanders and bless Pastor Joe and bless Pastor Hal and Lisa and Randy and everybody out there who supports this radio ministry. And also keep me in prayers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Coach. Amen. Thank you for
that. Thank you, Coach.
Amen.
I love you. Good night and God bless.
Good night. You know, tomorrow night there's going to be a blood moon, and blood moons always deal with judgment, Joe. If you look in the scripture, you'll see it. You'll find the blood moons referred to in Acts 20, or I believe it's Acts 2, verse 20, or Revelation 6:12, a number of places in Scripture. But
Revelation 6:12, and it's Acts 2, verse 20.
20, Acts,
and it's
also Joel.
Joel 2:31.
It's first, yeah, Joel 2:31. Joel 2, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord. And then Acts 2:20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Therefore, the great notable day of the Lord. It always deals with the day of the Lord. Revelation 6:12, let me see. Yeah, it talks about the end. And I beheld when he had...
The sun became, yeah.
Yeah, opened the sixth seal, yeah. So it always did. So there's going to be judgment tomorrow. And I'm hoping that judgment comes upon the death culture, the Antichrist system, so that... I pray that God brings them to repentance. Who do we have calling? Do we have calls coming in yet? Okay, now that's strange. That's very strange that we don't have. You know, when Cliff don't call in, you know something's going on out there. So, so what we're it looks like we're up on the stations.
Okay, maybe you know a lot of people were rattled by what went on tonight, but. In the meantime, real quick, one story I wanted to get out tonight. Violence against pro-lifers is now 22 times higher than any attacks against abortion advocates since the Roe v. Wade reversal. There have been 135 attacks on pro-life entities and people, and so it's really happening. Obama was running around telling how they were going to restore Roe versus Wade. Well, all that Supreme Court ruling did was say it belonged to the states to decide. It was not the purview of the federal government, and the Dems are just lying about the Constitution, the law. It was always that kind of thing that there are only a few things given to the federal government. Everything else was to go to the states. Where the people live, they wanted government closest to the people. So you hear all this stuff about democracy is going to die. Well, we never had a democracy. You can't kill something that doesn't exist.
We're a country. Joe, there's only one Supreme Court. There's only one. Supreme means the ultimate.
Well,
and that's Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's reality. And when they say that it should go back to the states to decide, no, God has made that decision. God said that the killing that child, number one, what it does, it transgresses the dominion of God. It transgresses God's dominion, and it's the shedding of innocent blood. And God says that that is an abominable sin. God has said this, okay? And so for 300 years in this country, people went to prison for killing children. God has ruled on it. Let's go to, did you say Colorado? No, Cindy in Florida, Tampa. Tampa, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
Well, we're back on the air. Apparently you can hear us. And so
Yes. And Craig knows. As soon as this stuff starts, I call to let him know what's going on. And he puts up with me. But it was fine until Laura started talking about the subject, you know, the...
of the children. I wonder why that would be. The sacrificing. Who do they sacrifice the children to? Yep.
The evil.
Yep.
The evil. You know, but it just, as soon as that started, it started going up, down, and then it was totally gone. It was all, I swear, it's like I could almost hear, you know, the evil screaming and talking, trying to, you know what I'm saying? Maybe not.
Yeah, I sure do know what you're saying. I have to put up with it every day. We're not going to compromise. I've been doing this for 50 years. They're not going to get me to quit. All they do is every time this happens, I just become absolutely more dedicated to attacking. We'll attack the wicked ones, and this is why I want people out there to listen. Please go vote tomorrow. Go vote tomorrow.
Guys, every day and before the show comes on, I pray for the station to be able to stay on and not be interfered with. And I pray for you and the other pastors that come on or the other guests. I mean, this has become a habit now ever since, this started happening.
That means a lot to me, Cindy. It really means, and I'm absolutely convinced the reason we're still here that they have not looked, they've been arresting friends of mine, other pastors, for doing what I'm doing, but not nearly as hard as I'm doing it or not nearly nationwide. But God has kept them up to this point. God has kept them away from us, and that's who's in your prayers, I think, are the reason.
Well, we all got it. I mean, I truly believe in the power of prayer. I mean, I have proof. I'm a witness to it all the time.
Amen. Thank you. I got to move on though because we're running out of time. Thank you. God bless you. Thanks again. Who did you say we had there? Wes in Portland, Oregon, going out from Florida to Oregon. Hey, Wes, you're in the air.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Ernie. Well, I listened to 2 hours Thursday and Friday of Static. And
I'm sorry, yeah, but, you know, thereafter, they're trying to get us down.
I know, but listen, I want to say that I agree with your other callers. I'm just so appreciative that you've just been a light in a sea of darkness. By the way... you look for the mostly peaceful rioting and firebombing to start out here in Portland about 9 o'clock tomorrow after the results start coming in, because I believe, I'm surprised to say, I think we're going to have a Republican governor for the first time in about 30 years.
Praise the good Lord. And then if you do, it won't be long. The firebombing will cease once that Republican governor takes office.
Well, let's hope so. And... again, thank you very much, and you and your crew are always in my prayers.
Thank you so much, Wes. Again, like Cindy, that means a lot to us. That's what's keeping us here.
God bless.
God bless you. Who do we have next? Let's go out to Minnesota. Hey, John.
Yeah, Pastor, I echo the last caller and just praise God for you. You've become an important part of my life, and I praise God for that. And I love the rally tonight. Trump made it clear that he's going to announce, I think, November 15. And so that was great. The last two evenings we've gotten static and quite a bit of it. Today started off really clear, though. So maybe the rally interferers were busy.
Well, they hit us right before we went on air, and we made some adjustments. I'm not going to say what we did. But we made some adjustments,
great.
So anyhow.
And then it was clear for a while, and then the interference started again, but now it's gone.
So praise the good Lord for that.
Yeah.
Well, so, yeah, I know. Let me ask you this. You say Trump said Trump announced he's going to announce on the 15th?
Yeah, he was very clear in that. He said we're going to make it a big announcement from Mar-a-Lago on November 15th.
What do you think? Now, let's see. The 15th is, that is a week from tomorrow.
Right,
and then,
right.
Well, you can expect the opposition to do something to try to stop him. He will be given, he will be giving them fists. Nasty Pelosi and Biden, just the idea of Trump running without being able to stop him, they'll be pulling their hair out. Okay.
They're going to try and charge him with something on January 6th before he can make the announcement, but I don't think they'll do it. Make it.
We'll see.
I have good news, though. It appears that Scott Jensen is a neck and neck tie with Waltz, who's a terrible governor. But in the attorney general race, even one prominent talk show host in the Twin Cities said, I am almost sure that we are going to retire Keith Ellison as Attorney General in Minnesota.
That would be wonderful. Oh, that would really be wonderful. Yes. What about that little Muslim woman? What's her name?
She's not. I don't think she's up for re-election, but she's got a lock on that district for somehow. It's like a hypnotic, demonic lock. I don't know. It's a very diverse district. I don't understand. I know. I have Christian friends that live in that area, and they're very nonplussed. I think there's a lot of graft going on. They've just got a big feeding ministry, so-called ministry, bust of people that are connected to Omar. So I think a lot of her supporters involved in the, they call it feeding frenzy bust, and they've already brought several people up on charges. The problem in Minnesota, the local attorney general's office does nothing, but we have a very strong federal prosecutor here. So that's where some action's happening.
Well, here, you know, the Congress is up every 2 years, so she's got to be up for re-election. And so
maybe she isn't, and they're not even counting her because they assume she'll probably keep her seat. But
could
I
be.
Don't know how anyone could vote for her. She's horrible.
Yeah, I know.
She's a totally unpatriotic, treasonous woman from her home country. She hates America, so.
Yeah, I know. Slept with her own brother.
Yeah, no, there's the norm.
All righty. Anyway, well, thank you, John. I got to move on. Let's go to California with Amber. Amber, you're in the air.
Oh, hi, Pastor Ernie. You know, I agree with all the callers. You are just so special, you and, you know, all your guests on there. And I wouldn't know what to do if someday I turned on the radio and you weren't on there. It would be so devastating.
Amber, let me just say this. You don't know how good that makes us feel, because I really felt bad that we were letting all you folks, all you good people down, because we were not able to stay on the air, and we were letting the enemy take us down, and it really made us feel bad. But we just, so your words mean a lot to us.
Yeah, and I'm hearing the demonic governor Newsom, you know, but I just want to ask everyone to please pray in California, the most demonic proposition is on the ballot. That's Prop 1. And, that's like, abortion, like after birth, if parents don't want to let their children come to California and get like trans surgery, the parents can be arrested. I mean, it's just horrible, horrible proposition. I just ask that everybody pray that Prop 1 fails in California tomorrow.
We will do that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Oh, God.
God bless you. And Joe, well, you need to pray and pray too also. Well, I'm going to pray for that, and then you give an invitation. I'm going to do a short prayer. So, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just would ask, Lord, that you would remove Newsom. I Gavin Newsom, Lord, that you would, the wicked man has had time and time and time, opportunity after the other to repent. He's refused. Lord God, he's rebellious. He shakes his rebellious fist in the face of a holy God. You would remove that wicked man. He's a very, very wicked man, Father God. And Lord, that you would take down this Proposition 1. Father God, remove it, Father God. Lord, let the good people of California rise up against the evil, the darkness, and the wickedness there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joe, you got 4 minutes.
I want to start with something to remind people that if you are a born-again believer, you are sealed. Sealed by the Holy Ghost. You are sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise. We see that in Ephesians 1, verse 13, and Ephesians 4, 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Then remember, we are what? We're washed by the blood of the Lamb. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Then we are children of God. Luke 20, 36. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. And in Romans 8, 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That's what a born-again believer is. Sealed, washed, a child, and an heir of everlasting salvation. Are you born again? Have you asked God to forgive you of your sins? Have you repented of your sins? Have you accepted that Jesus Christ went to the cross, took your place, paid the price for your sin debt? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, that you are willing to give yourself to him, that you are bought and paid for by his shed blood, that you want to become a born-again believer? You want to be sealed with the holy promise of the Holy Spirit? You want to be washed by Jesus' blood? You want to become a child of God, a child of the kingdom, and a joint heir with Jesus? If you do that, you can be one of those that are called born-again believers, children of God. But you have to make that decision. You have to call upon the Father for forgiveness, ask Jesus to come into your life, ask for the indwelling, the down payment on eternal life, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Only you can save, you know, bring yourself to salvation. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, convicts your heart. The wages of sin is death. I can preach God's word. Pastor Ernie can preach and teach. But only Jesus can save. And you have to make the decision in your heart to accept Jesus and his wonderful, wonderful offer of mercy and everlasting life, or reject him and face the consequence. That decision needs to be made. People have put it off and found out that it was too late. God called them home. There was a car accident, a cancer, a heart attack, a gunshot, and there was no more chance for salvation. Do yourself a favor. Get down on your knees. Call upon the Father. Pray to him, and you will find being born again is the most wonderful thing that has ever happened in your life.
Absolutely, Joe, it is. But we're out of time. Like we've come to, we want to praise the good Lord that we got back on. So till tomorrow, good night. God bless, and always, always
keep
fighting the fight.
The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.